We certainly turn our attention to the works of God, often done in quiet, often done with hardly a notice from the world, and often done despite the world's scheming. And yet God's covenant persists, yet he keeps his word. And that is what we celebrate this morning, not only because it's Christmas Day, but also because we have baptisms and a profession of faith to celebrate God's grace in. So I invite you to turn for those baptisms in your forms and prayers books to page 9 and the form for the sacrament of baptism. Page 9. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what the Lord has revealed to us in his word about holy baptism can be summarized in this way. First, baptism teaches that we and our children are conceived and born in sin. This means that we are by nature children of wrath and for that reason cannot be members of Christ's kingdom unless we are born again. Baptism, whether by immersion or sprinkling, teaches that sin has made us so impure that we must undergo a cleansing which only God can accomplish. By this we are admonished to detest ourselves, humble ourselves before God, and turn to him for our cleansing and salvation. Second, baptism signifies and seals to us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. For this reason we are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized into the name of the Father, God the Father testifies and seals to us that he makes an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us as his children and heirs. Therefore, he promises to provide us with everything good and protect us from all evil or turn it to our profit. When we are baptized into the name of the Son, God the Son seals to us that he washes us in his blood from all our sins. Christ unites us to himself so that we share in his death and resurrection. Through this union with Christ, we are freed from our sins and accounted righteous before God. When we are baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit assures us by this holy sacrament that he will make his home within us and will sanctify us as members of Christ. He will impart to us what we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives. As a result of his work within us, we shall finally be presented without the stain of sin among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Third, the covenant of grace contains both promises and obligations. Having considered the promises, we now consider the obligations. Through baptism, God calls us and places us under obligation to live in new obedience to him. This means that we must cling to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We must trust in him and love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We must renounce the sinful way of life. We must put to death our old nature and show by our lives that we belong to God. If we, through weakness, should fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor use our weakness as an excuse to keep sinning. Baptism is a seal and totally reliable witness that we have an eternal covenant with God. Our children should not be excluded from baptism because of their inability to understand its meaning. Just as without their knowledge they share in Adam's condemnation, so are they without their knowledge received to grace in Christ. God's gracious attitude toward us and our children is revealed in what he said to Abraham, the father of all believers. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. The Apostle Peter also testifies to this with these words, "For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Therefore, God formerly commanded that children be circumcised as a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness that comes by faith. Christ also recognized that children are members of the covenant people when he embraced them, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Since baptism has replaced circumcision as the sign and seal of the covenant, our children should be baptized as heirs of God's kingdom and of his covenant. As children grow up, their parents are responsible for teaching them the meaning of baptism. in order that we may now administer this holy sacrament of God to his glory, for our comfort, and to the edification of the church, let us call upon his holy name. Almighty, eternal God, long ago you severely punished an unbelieving and unrepentant world in holy judgment by sending a flood. But in your great mercy, you saved and protected believing Noah and his family. You also drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his whole army in the Red Sea, and you brought your people Israel through the sea on dry ground. In these acts, you revealed the meaning of baptism and the mercies of your covenant in saving your people, who of themselves deserved your condemnation. We therefore pray that in your infinite mercy, you will look upon these, your children, and bring them into union with your Son, Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit. May they be buried with Christ into death and be raised with him to walk in newness of life. We pray that they may follow Christ day by day, may joyfully bear their crosses, and may cling to him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love. Comfort them in your grace, so that when they leave this life and its constant struggle against the power of sin, they may appear before the judgment seat of Christ, your Son, without fear. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the one and only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Beloved in Christ the Lord, Stephen, Kendra, William, and Lauren, as you have now heard, baptism is given to us by God to seal his covenant to us and our children. We must therefore use the sacrament for the purpose that God intended and not out of superstition or mere custom, that it may be clear that you are doing what God commands. You are asked to stand to answer the following questions sincerely. First, do you acknowledge that our children who are conceived and born in sin and are subject to the misery that sin brings, even the condemnation of God, are sanctified in Christ and so as members of his church ought to be baptized? Second, do you acknowledge that the teaching of the Old and New Testaments, summarized in the articles of the Christian faith and taught in this Christian church, is the true and complete doctrine of salvation? Third, do you sincerely promise to do all you can to teach these children and to have them taught this doctrine of salvation? Steve and Kendra Baker, what is your answer?
We do.
William and Lauren Sherpensville, what is your answer? We do. Steve and Kendra, would you come forward, please? Vivian Joy Baker, I baptize you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. William and Lauren, would you come forward, please? James Alexander Sherpensville, I baptize you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. We have much to be thankful for, and so let's celebrate God's grace by turning to hymn number 301, and we'll stand to sing stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5.